The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. Broadcasting globally and with a worldwide audience. Welcome to America's Living Room with Angela Stanton King. This is today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to America's Living Room with your favorite host, Angela Stanton King. Happy Saturday. What a blessed and wonderful feeling it is to actually wake up and be amongst the land of the living. So I just thank God for life. On today, we have four very, very special guests. One I'm hearing is already in the back studio, Keon Moon, who is a director out in Hollywood. And you know, we've been having these conversations here on America's Living Room, and we're asking, you know, hey, is there an agenda? How has the entertainment industry evolved? And without further ado, I'm going to bring in Keon Moon because he is here to discuss all of that with us. Keon, thank you so much for joining us this Saturday on America's Living Room with Angela Stanton King. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you? Thank you for having me this morning.
Keon, talk to me a little bit about your background in entertainment.
Wow. I have been in entertainment practically for a very, very long time, practically all of my life. I literally started my company about 10 years ago, and I was doing marketing and PR, just kind of representing just people from around the way, people that I knew that were authors, preachers, singers, you know, people trying to get into the business and kind of elevate it from there. And just worked my way up basically and just built my company and eventually got into television, which has always been my first love. And was able to represent some people there and able to do a lot of work in television, which ultimately led me to where I am right now.
So, wow. For many people that may not know, that's actually where you and I met on set. A lot of people may not be familiar with my background, but I also dabbled in reality television a little bit. I was on season 3 of From the Bottom Up. So, Keon, I know that you've been in the industry for over a decade, and you even packed up and left Atlanta and moved to Hollywood. So you're now a director over in Hollywood. Can you talk to us a little bit about how the entertainment industry has evolved since you first, began your business?
Absolutely. The entertainment industry has evolved in so many ways in terms of just opportunities. Platforms, streaming platforms have now come about that weren't very prevalent back when I first started. So that's one way that the entertainment has definitely progressed. And then another way that I think that the entertainment industry has progressed is basically just the content that we produce now, the stories that we tell. There's more lanes for us to tell our stories. There's more avenues for us to depict ourselves the way that we actually are, especially in the Black community. So I've seen a great deal of evolution in the entertainment industry. And I believe that we are going in a direction where we can now get the authenticity of who we are, and we can get a full perspective of who we are as a community out to the public now. So, yeah.
So let me ask you a question, because you are a director, you are in production, and you also brought up the Black family. I'm just going to be honest, and you know how very upfront I am. You know, we don't see a lot of positive role models that represent the Black family in entertainment today, unfortunately. So that leads me to ask you, when it comes to directing, when it comes to producing, when it comes to key role entertainment, what do you feel your role in entertainment is? Are you about positive role models for the Black community? Is it about entertainment? Is it about what they like? Talk to me about that.
I believe that we all grow and evolve. So I can speak to where I am today and where I can see my trajectory. For me and my company, in Key Role Entertainment, we're always about perspective. How can we introduce a new perspective, or how can we introduce a different perspective? And we always want to put out things that have meaning, things that have substance. I think that a lot of the content that you create as a director or as a producer, it has to do with a lot of how you see yourself or what is actually residing in you. Because I believe that what is in you is actually what comes out of you. Your art is inspired by the things that you've gone through, experiences that you've had, maybe experiences that people that you know have had, or just experience that you want to have and want to explore. So I believe that we tend to create content from that place for most of us. And for me, it's definitely been that all of the content that I've created and produced has always been some kind of extension of me or something that I've gone through or things that I've seen other people gone through. For me, I believe that my purpose is always restoration in some type of way or redemption in some type of way. So I always want to put, you know, content together that reflects that, that reflects my true morals and true values and who I am. And I think that that is important. And I think the content that you see or TV shows that you see, it is definitely a reflection of the producers or the creators and how they feel, see, and their perspective on things.
Okay, let me ask you another question, and I'm just going to be honest and upfront. And I don't want to offend anybody because everybody knows that I have a my adult son who's a member of the LGBT community, as well as plenty of friends and family. Do you believe that there is a LGBTQ agenda being pushed in Hollywood that's focused more on children and LGBTQ youth?
Do I personally believe that? No. Here is what I believe. I believe that historically LGBTQ community has been oppressed. They've been oppressed in religion, they've been oppressed in society, they've been oppressed in in entertainment, they've been oppressed all the way around. And I believe that we have come into a climate where we can start to kind of accept and we can start to make space and make room for people who are a part of that community. And I think that what has happened is now that we are in this climate, it's like, let's hurry up and get everything that we can. Let's get the representation in TV. Let's get it all across the board while we can, so that we can, you know, we can have a clear, again, there's that word perspective, we can have a clear perspective of the world that we actually live in. And I believe that, I personally believe that a lot of the LGBTQ community experience or, you know, realize that they are a part of that community very early in life. And I believe that sometimes it could possibly be a lonely road, you know, when you are growing up and you know that you have these feelings or emotions or whatever, and you don't see any representation anywhere of anything that looks like you or resembles what you are actually dealing with inside. So I believe that's where that comes from.
I got two questions for you. I want to know what rights don't the LGBTQ community have?
Well, I don't think that, in my personal opinion, I don't think that it's all about rights. I think that it's all about perspective and how they have been seen, treated, and made to feel about themselves. And I think that's what is more so than rights. It's equality. I think that is being sought. Is the equality level. Just as much as you look at TV and you see, or you look around the world and you see man and woman together, that is reality. That is a part of our reality. But also a part of our reality, we have trans men and trans women. Also a part of our reality, we have, you know, gay men and gay women. We have bisexual men and, you know, so on and so forth. And that is not always represented. And I think that when it comes to representation, it's not necessarily about, you know, truth and fact. I think that it's more so about what actually exists. you know, just reality.
I think that is a different perspective. But I heard you say, like, we don't see gay men or gay men, women represented. We don't see transgender men or transgender men, women represented. But I was speaking like specifically on children. So you also said bisexual men or bisexual women. Should we be looking at children as a sexual preference? Should we look at children as if they're gay? Should we look at children as if they're bisexual, transsexual? Should we be associating sex with children in any type of form or fashion?
I don't believe that we should be, in my personal opinion. I don't believe that we should be sexualizing any child. But the other side of that is, the reality of that is that sexuality does exist in children, whether we want to, you know, acknowledge it or even see it. It is true. Sexuality does exist in children. And I don't think that it should be promoted or they should be sexualized. But again, on
the flip side, whether it's homosexual, heterosexual, I don't think that any type of sex should be promoted or associated with children. I think that children should just be children. And when they grow and when they mature, you know, they'll make their own decisions about sexuality. I personally happen to believe that there is an agenda to sexualize children through Hollywood, through the media, through social media, because we're seeing right now, everything is about LGBTQ youth or LGBTQ children, even in cartoons and stuff like that. And my thing is, children that young, they shouldn't even be thinking about sex. Like, let's focus on education. Let's focus on you learning how to spell your name correctly, how to complete a correct sentence, a format, a sentence. So let's talk about you learning how to add and subtract some life skills. I just think that there are plenty of other things that they need to know before they begin learning about sex or sexualities. Let me ask you a question. Talk to me about this cancel culture in the entertainment industry.
Cancel culture. Here we are. We are certainly in a new place than where it was when I first started, you know, many, many moons ago. Here's the thing that I like about cancel culture. It brings us into a place of accountability, because I believe that for a very long time, we have just, you know, celebrities, people, you know, in entertainment, we have lived that privileged life and we have, you know, been on top of the world. And sometimes we feel as though we don't have to be accountable for the things that we have done or the things that we do or say. The biggest thing, I think the problem that I have with cancel culture is that it doesn't give people room to grow, change, and evolve. You know, you can look at something, you know, you can look at many figures that have, you know, been canceled, and a lot of their stuff comes from 20 years ago. So we don't give people room and opportunities to grow and evolve when it comes to cancel culture. But however, it does bring us to a place of accountability. And I do think that in a world that we live in, it is important that we are accountable for our actions, all of them, good or bad.
So how do you feel about free speech?
I feel that I'm a believer of free speech. I'm a huge believer in freedom of speech. I believe that that is protected in the First Amendment of the Constitution. However, I do believe there are consequences. Just because you have the freedom to speak, there are consequences that comes with some of our rhetoric and some of our speech, right? And I just believe that's just the way of the world. That's how it is. And yeah, I believe that we should have the right to say what it is that we want to say. We should have the right to express our thoughts and our feelings in our art, you know, and be able to share that with the world freely.
I want to talk to you more about that, because that sounds a little maybe contradictory or hypocritical, if you will, to say, hey, okay, I'm for cancel culture a little bit, but I'm also for free speech. Let's get into that when we come back from the break. Guys, I'm speaking with Hollywood director Keon Moon of Key Role Entertainment down in LA. We are now live on TNT Radio. You're in America's Living Room with Angela Stanton King.
You should hear what Omira and Borgeson are talking about.
We're going to talk about President Biden's recent executive order titled Comprehensive Framework for Responsible Development of Digital Assets. To me, that's just a word salad for how best to track your money. Right now, interest rates are rising, the cost of food and rent is skyrocketing, and people are struggling to make ends meet. How will going digital make a difference in your life? And one can't help ask, who benefits? Every day, we see how commercial finance is changing. Phones swiped over keypads for purchases. No need for cash, credit, or debit. Microchips are inserted into hands to allow access to home and work. More importantly, make no mistake, anything digital can be tracked. Every move you make can be tracked. Think about the animal microchips. It's no different with humans. What if you don't want to get chipped and digitized? Will you become a societal pariah? No? Think again. Remember what happened to anyone who refused the COVID jab. They were a danger to society.
Omira and Borgeson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Some children don't have what other children have. Some children don't get regular meals. Some children don't have a place to live. Some children don't have a safe place to go to sleep. All until something changed. Someone cared. Someone cared enough to give them a chance. A healthy meal. Someone cared enough to give them a safe home. Cared enough to give them a warm bed. Someone foster cared. Truth is, there's lots of kids in need and not enough care. If you're ready to be the care in foster care, call Barnardo's on 1-800-663-441. Because every child needs a champion.
America's Living Room and a dash of common sense with Angela Stanton King. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed the break. You are now back tuned into America's Living Room with your favorite host, Angela Stanton King. And we're speaking with Hollywood director Keon Moon, and we've covered a variety of topics. And we're going to talk to him just a little bit more about, you know, the cancel culture and the freedom of speech. How does it work? Like, if you have freedom of speech and your freedom is protected, you're able to say whatever you want to say. But then you see people with this cancel culture losing their jobs, losing their platforms, being completely destroyed in the media for whatever reason, because they said something someone didn't like. Keon, you seem to be a supporter of both cancel culture and freedom of speech. Like, where is the balance? How does that work?
For me, so this is how I see it. For me, when it comes to freedom of speech, this is how I perceive it working and how I perceive the amendment. No one prevents you from saying what you want to say, where you want to say it. There's not, you know, there's no one's going to kill you for doing that. You have the right to go and say what you want to say. However, there are consequences to everything that you say. And so for me, that's how I see it. Yes, you can get on your platform and you can say whatever, you know, you feel, but if people are offended, if people are don't want to hear from you again, then they have that right as well. And there are consequences for what you have said. When it comes to cancel culture, what I agree with is the accountability. You have to, you can't just get on your platform, just say what you want to say. You can't just, you know, without there being some type of repercussions, without there being some kind of feelings and emotions behind what you're saying, because people are, that's just how it is, in my opinion.
Okay, so talk to us about some of your upcoming projects. I know you're down there working in the belly of the beast right there in Hollywood. Can you talk to us about some of your upcoming projects that we can see from Key Row Entertainment?
Absolutely. I just finished shooting a pilot for a reality-based talk show with someone who is very well known, and this is definitely an opportunity for redemption for this person. And it also has to do everything with rebuilding and restructuring and becoming better family units in the Black community. And that's what the show is basically all about. I'm super excited about that. And I'm also working on another project as well. It is a scripted drama that speaks to some experiences that we have in our community that just has not been brought to the forefront, even though, you know, it's very prevalent. These experiences under, you know, the guise of the church is very, very prevalent. So we haven't seen it in this form. So I'm super excited about that project as well. And it is a scripted drama.
Awesome. I'm really excited for you as well. I think that your role is very important. I think that although I hear your perspective on representation, I think that the eyes are the window to the soul. And I think that it's very important for us to pay attention to what our children are watching, what our children are hearing, and what our children are absolutely saying. Where do you see the entertainment industry in 10 years from now? And what do you hope that your role is a decade from now when it comes to entertainment?
Wow, that is major. I hope that in 10 years from now that I would have created and produced enough work to make an impact on the world, to be able to introduce this amazing perspective that is still there, to be able to show a different side of the things that we have gone through as a whole, as you know, in the world. And in 10 years, who knows where the entertainment industry will be? I don't think any of us saw where we are now. I don't think that most of us knew that we would be here 10 years ago. So who knows where the entertainment industry will be? Just hopefully it will be a place where people's creativity and their art can live, can grow, and can evolve and impact and change the lives of those people that are actually watching and enjoying those, you know, those arts that are made.
Awesome. We've got about 3 minutes left before we break to the commercial. Keon, tell people more about your production company, where they can find you, where they can follow you, where they can learn more about your work. Go ahead and give them all of the information that they would need to contact you and follow your journey.
Absolutely. They can definitely log on to our website, which is kerola.com. That's kerola.com. You can follow me on social media at Keon Moon, which is KeyunMoon. And you can also follow our social media pages for Kero Entertainment, which is at Kero, KEROE underscore LA. And we're all over social media. I'm sure if you just Google me, you can definitely find Keon Moon. Yes.
Wonderful. I know this conversation hasn't been political at all, but I've got to ask you a question because Absolutely. You are a citizen of the United States. In all honesty, how do you feel about the current administration? And do you feel as though there have been any initiative put forth that actually benefit Americans and more specifically Black Americans?
If we're talking about Black Americans, I'm disappointed in the current administration. We have to just be honest. I'm very disappointed. I would have liked to see more efforts for the Black community. And I'm just not getting that. I would have liked to see more efforts and stride for our economy to be back thriving. And we're continuously sending billions and billions of dollars and spending billions and billions of dollars on things that just, you know, are not progressing us as an economy. And so I'm very disappointed. And I wish that there was more being done for us as, you know, African-Americans, you know, in this country. I wish there was more
leadership. I don't think it's anything wrong with saying that, because let's be honest, Joe Biden's entire administration got in off of Black Lives Matter. Everything was about Absolutely. Black people this, Black people that. And then the minute they get in office, they drop the bag on Black people, other than saying, sure, vote for Kamala, she's Black. Vote for Ketanji because she's Black. Vote for Caitlyn Jenner Perez, she's Black. But the bottom line is Black people have gotten absolutely nothing. Keon Moon, thank you so much for joining America's Living Room today. I really appreciate your input and also appreciate your perspective although we may not agree on everything, the wonderful thing is here on America's Living Room, we can agree to disagree, and there's no hate and there's no division. Guys, we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we've got Kwame Kilpatrick, the former mayor of Detroit. He's going to be joining us. Everybody, stay tuned. We're now live on TNT Radio. You're in America's Living Room with Angela Stanton King.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. 15,000 potentially fatal fentanyl pills disguised as rainbow-coloured candy have been seized in the US state of Connecticut, stashed in Skittles and Nerds packets and set to be sold to teenagers for Halloween. US President Joe Biden's done it again, caught on camera, this time looking for a dead congresswoman at an event at the White House. And Russia says the attack on its Nord Stream pipelines appear to be the result of state-sponsored terrorism.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snap out.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it. But if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head. It can affect your entire body because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
You're listening to Angela Stanton King and America's Living Room, lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Everybody, welcome back. This is going to be a very special segment here on America's Living Room, and I'll tell you why. Because we're being joined by somebody that I always believed in from day one, Mr. Kwame Kilpatrick, who a lot of you may remember him because he actually was the former mayor of Detroit, and he received a sentence commutation from President Donald J. Trump on his last day in office. But what's going to be really interesting about this conversation is I want to talk to Kwame about the correlation between politics and preaching, because believe it or not, since he's been released, he's gotten married. He also has a new baby, and he is now preaching the word of God. What an awesome testimony. Please help me welcome Kwame Kilpatrick. Thanks for being on the show today.
ASK, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Kwame. I mean, you just sound so bright. I mean, it's just an awesome thing to be free, huh?
Ain't no question. You know, I tell people all the time that they ask, how does it feel to be free? You know, I get them because I was free before I got out. And I think that's a real thing that you and I both want to help people do before they walk out of prison doors, have them free indeed in their spirits and their minds and their focus. But it feels incredible to be outside of a prison barbed wire fence. It feels good to be able to move around, to love, to build, to minister, to go see things that I've never seen before. And it feels good to be on the ASK show. You know, Angela Stanton King is one of my heroes, and she is continuing to speak truth to power and stand for something. And I just love you, and I love what you're doing. Thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate it so much. A lot of people are not familiar with our connection, and we'll get into that a little bit. We are global radio with over 6 million downloads a month. Can you tell us, for those of us that are listening that may not be familiar with who Kwame Kilpatrick is, can you take about maybe 2 or 3 minutes and just give us a little brief rundown of your history?
Okay. I was born and raised in the city of Detroit, Michigan. Graduated from all of those schools, those public schools there. Went to Florida A&M on a football scholarship. I was an All-American football player down at FAMU. I hurt my back my senior year, the last game we played, and I went back to Detroit and taught in the Detroit public school system for 3.5 years. After 3.5, that same time, I went to law school as well. So I was teaching in the daytime, going to law school at night. I graduated from Michigan State University Law School. Passed the bar the first time. I ran for state representative. I was 25 years old when I ran. At 29 years old, I became the leader of the state house. I was the first African-American and the youngest person in the history of the state to hold that position. And at 30 years old, I ran for mayor of the city of Detroit. I won, surprising pretty much everybody except us. And I held that position for almost 7 years. 6 years, 9 months exactly. We did some incredible things at mayor as mayor. One thing that people won't hear is an attack on the work that we did, but there was an attack on me. I always say that your gifts and your anointing can take you to a place that your character and integrity or lack thereof would take you from. And so after 6 years, 9 months in that job, I had to resign because of an extramarital affair that was uncovered. Later on, I moved to Texas and worked for a health information technology firm. But while I was working, the feds came in and indicted me. And I ended up going to trial, a 6-month trial in the city of Detroit, and was found guilty and sentenced to 28 years in prison. I was in federal prison for, I had a state charge and a federal charge, a state prison for 15 months, and then federal prison from 39 days short of 8 years. And because of a whole lot of incredible people like Angela Stanton King and Alveda King, Craig DeRoche and Pete Carmanos and Alice Johnson and so many other people who played a prominent role in helping me to get out. People that I'd never met before. I never met Angela Stanton King, but the Lord turned their hearts towards me. I was able to walk out of that prison 11 hours before President Trump's reign in as president of the United States. I always say to everyone that if you think God won't show up, he will show up in the 11th hour. And that's now when I got out, while I was in prison 6.5 years, after feeling sorry for myself for about a year and a half, I started to work in the various chapels of the four prisons I was in. I taught Bible studies. I preached on Sundays. I led the worship. And then getting out, I was ordained by the Church of God in Christ, by the head of that, the chief apostle and the president and the chair and the head honcho of the Church of God in Christ, J. Drew Sheard. He ordained me to be an elder in the Church of God in Christ. And since that point, my wife and I have launched a ministry here in Atlanta, Movemental Ministries. We're gonna
get into that. I want to talk to you about your ministry and your book, but let's just back up just a little bit, right? Because I forgot that you was the mayor. So you used to speaking, right? So listen, hold on no one doubt. Second. Now, you named a lot of people, including my godmother, Alveda King, and we all fought very hard for your release. But it was actually President Donald J. Trump that signed the paper, right?
Absolutely.
Now, absolutely, you were released the last day, right, of his presidency. Yes. And all of us were sitting on edge because we had been fighting because we believed that you were deserving of a second chance. And I understand that, you know, you had a lot of support in the Democrat Party. How does it, like, I don't know, rattle the tree for you to have your sentence commuted, you know, by this guy that they say, you know, is a white supremacist?
You know, first, let me just say to people who have any issue with that, you know, when all hell is breaking loose, when the doctor comes into the room and says you have cancer, and if we don't operate right now, you're going to die. And you look at that doctor and he tell you he's the absolute best in the business at doing that. You wouldn't care if he had on a Ku Klux Klan outfit. If this person can save your life, if the fireman showed up to your house and your house was on fire and your family was inside, you don't care if it's a white person, a black person, a Hispanic person, please help me. So first of all, I think it's a little unfair for people who have themselves been caught in life and death situations to prognosticate on us and how we were separated from our families, I believe critically unjustly, I mean, profoundly unjustly, and then say that the person that did it, we have a problem with. I don't have any problem with. I thank him immensely. I really wanna shake his hand, look him in the eye and tell him thank you. I would love to take my sons and my wife because I believe they would do the same thing. I'm excited about the fact that I saw God even work in that. I never met Donald Trump. I didn't know Donald Trump. I didn't know Mrs. King. I didn't know Angela Stanton King. I didn't know Alice Johnson. I didn't know the people who were doing all this advocacy before, but I know you now. And I believe God created a family. He turned the president's heart towards me, and I'm just happy and excited that I received that kind of gift from the president And I don't see how anybody could ever have a problem with that.
Listen, you're excited. We're excited. But you know who's more excited? King.
Who is that?
Auntie Baby's King. King, we got a new baby. If you
no
if
question.
Trump hadn't commuted that sentence, our little baby King wouldn't be here. And we are just so grateful for his life. Congratulations to you and your wife on the new baby. Now, I got another question I got to ask you before we go to break. We've got about 5 minutes here. You have, of course, been involved in politics. We know this.
Yes.
You've turned a new leaf. You are now, you know, preaching the word of God. Go ahead, Apostle. But talk to us about that correlation between politics and religion, because so many times we hear them say, hey, we need to keep, you know, religion in the state. It needs to be separate. But then we have state senators like, you know, Raphael Warnock, who's also a preacher. Talk to us about that correlation between politics and preaching.
Well, I mean, since the biblical days, there has been a correlation between the religious aspects of society and also politics. David was a king. You know, David was a political king. Solomon was a king. They were both political kings, and they were kings in the kingdom of God for the children of Israel. And so they had a religious aspect to them, and they also had a governmental aspect. They were warrior kings. They were wise kings. But the Old Testament of the Bible is full of politics. So when people say that there should be absolutely no politics in this whole idea of religion, then I don't believe that they are sufficiently endowed with the right information and knowledge and wisdom of the Bible that we say we follow. One thing, it matters who the king is. It does matter. It matter who we're following. It matters who we're submitting to in terms of government. We pray for whoever is there. I'm told by my Bible to pray for George Bush, for Bill Clinton, for Donald Trump, for Barack Obama, and for Joe Biden. I'm told to pray for those who are in authority because I want a peaceable life. I want them to make the right decisions so that I can have a peaceable life. So there is a correlation, there is a relationship. And then lastly, as we go to singular issues, the church has to have a statement on that. When people were voting in 1619 and people were participating in the industrial complex of slavery, there had to be some politicians to rise up and say this was wrong. We look for government to have the opportunity to hear from those men and women of faith who can speak truth to power regardless of the circumstances. And they have to be able to stand. You have to be able to vote for someone where you can go in their office and say, this is just wrong. I know we're talking about issues of abortion, but let me tell you what God says. And then you make your decision, but I want you to understand where I stand and why. And so there is a correlation because government, they can make a decision that inherently and profoundly in the decision prevents your ability to be following God to the fullest capacity of what the word says. And so I believe that men and women of faith should participate more in the body politic. And I believe that government officials, because we have seven mountains. I love that book. There's seven mountains of influence in this society. And the author of that book says that we need somebody from the kingdom that is influential in every one of those seven mountains. And one of them is government. Another is arts and entertainment. There's a correlation between education and the Bible. There's a correlation between business and the Bible. We want people to do business. I wish that when I was going through at 25 and 26 and 30 and 35, that there would have been somebody that could have led me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There'd have been somebody wrapped their arms around me and said, you should be understanding that because I thought there was a separation at that time. So ASK, we now more than ever in the history of mankind, we need people who are men and women who understand government and who are proficient at the body politic to be in close conversation and relationship with those men and women who have received the Spirit of God and have a conversation about how we work together to create as best we can the type of neighborhoods and communities and families and states that will produce what we want, good fruit in our society.
Wow. You said a mouthful, guys. We are live in America's Living Room on TNT Radio. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're still speaking with Apostle Kwame Kilpatrick. Stay tuned, everyone.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So it turns out that if you're a stressed out coffee drinker, you're in luck. You might be helping yourself stay healthy and maybe even helping yourself live longer. I kid you not. There are two separate studies. Studyfinds.org says researchers from the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine say the immune system can actually benefit from a little stress. Although stress plays a role in a number of health issues, the study finds it may also protect the body in certain circumstances. Experiments were conducted on mice. The message is that a little bit of stress is good in your life, but you want to be stressed in the right way. I don't know what that means. The other study says drink 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day for longer life and better heart health. It was authored by the head of clinical electrophysiology research at the Baker Heart and Diabetes Research Institute in Melbourne, Australia. The results suggest that mild to moderate intake of ground, instant, and decaffeinated coffee should be considered part of a healthy lifestyle. Coffee and stress. Who knew? Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
A man's home is his castle. But his men's shed, that's his kingdom. There are now more than 1,000 men's sheds across Australia. And they're more than just a shed. You can make things, grow things, find a mate, be a mate, shoulder to shoulder. The Australian Men's Shed Association can help to find a shed near you.
There's something for you at the men's shed.
This is America's Living Room with Angela Stanton King on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are now speaking with Kwame Kilpatrick, and it's just an awesome, awesome honor to have him in the studio with us today. Kwame, you've come a long ways, and you have an awesome, awesome story. And I know that you gave us a quick glimpse into your story, but you have a new book. I want you to talk to us in this last segment about your new book and also about your ministry.
Yeah. First, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And I just love what you're doing, Angela. My book is called Off the Grid, The Journey Back to Destiny. I truly believe that before time began, this was the Bible says, that he called us. And I'm doing now what I was always intended by God to be doing. This is my purpose. This is the destiny in my life. And I'm moving towards that. Off the Grid is a story about how I got from being the mayor of the city of Detroit, going through state prison and federal prison and the things that were happening and all. People always ask, what happens behind those closed doors? This book gives you a snapshot. The book opens up with the night that President Trump actually gave me the commutation to leave prison. But what most people don't know is I was in solitary confinement when I heard that. I had been there for 225 days. And, you know, given, you know, that backdrop, we open up the book. I think people will get a glimpse of the book and a glimpse of these experiences that will bring them in a way that they never experienced before. But then moving forward, talking about our American criminal justice system, the federal courts, which have become a testimonial-based system, not an evidentiary-based system. What happens in our federal courts when you see somebody splash on the front page of getting 30 years or 27 years? One thing I do thank President Trump is he's been unafraid to talk about the corruption and the personal political influences within the FBI for selective prosecution and even malicious prosecution. I thank him for talking about the courts. I thank him for attacking the issues within the criminal justice system in a way that we had not seen before from a president. And that's something that bears us listening to at this time. I marvel, and I talk about this in the book, even with President Trump and what he says. And the reason why I marvel at the African-American community, which because President Trump says something, we go against it. And a lot of our fight for years has been on the negative influences and the personal and political influences in the FBI, bringing so much drama and hardship and over-sentencing and selective prosecution to our community. But the book goes and explores all of that. But the book also explores the what happens when you fall down on your knees and when you completely surrender to the will of God in your life and truly say, Jesus, you know, be my Lord. And you surrender that to him and taking you through that process and the ugly process of sanctification, the fancy word that looks really, really ugly when you're going through it sometimes. But we take you behind closed doors, private sessions within the book, almost like a workshop, if you will. But you're walking through it with me. And so this is our part of the ministry as well. I'm doing workshops around the country on behind closed doors because what we've discovered, what you've talked about, Angela, is that women and men go through pure trauma growing up in this world. Black men, white men, Hispanic, Latino men, and Asians, they go through trauma of all kinds that we could not imagine, much of that in their own families. But it happens behind closed doors. And most people live their lives, giving us their representative at work or and on the football team. But we never know what they've been through. And exercising that trauma and having them see truly who they are is what I've been called to do. And so I'm doing that around the country with these behind closed doors workshops, behind closed doors, sermonic exercises, Bible studies to help people get free and truly be delivered. I like to say this lastly, that there are more prisons than state and federal institutions. There are prisons that are emotional, prisons of suicide, prisons of infirmity, people that have been struggling with diabetes and diseases of all kinds. And so what we want people to do is be free, be delivered from that so you can walk in the purpose that God has for you. And that's what this book is about. Sometimes we have to get off the grid. We have to move ourselves into a place where we can really heal. So when we come back, we're something different altogether. We're transformed.
Awesome. Kwame, where can people actually get a copy of your book?
They can go right to Amazon.com right now. Off the Grid, Kwame Kilpatrick, The Journey Back to Destiny, Off the Grid. It's right there. It's on Amazon, you know, and I think it'll edify and encourage you and inspire you. So I appreciate the opportunity, Angie.
All right. Awesome. A couple of more things before I let you go. We've probably got about 7 minutes before we get ready to wrap up. I see you on YouTube a lot doing Bible study. Talk to us about that and how people can log on and be a part of that movement as well.
Yes. And I see you on there. I shout you out when I can. You know, I see you coming on there. I thank you for participating. Our Bible studies are every Friday morning at 8 a.m. I always say, get your coffee now. It's going to be a good one. 8 a.m. Our morning Bible studies on YouTube, Movemental Ministries TV. Movemental is one word. Movemental. I got that word from a book called Permanent Revolution, where he says that the new apostolic movement in America and throughout the world has to go back to the first century missional movement of Jesus Christ. And they took that word movement and missional and movemental came out of that. And so that's what it is. We also have Truth Topics Tuesday. That's at 7 p.m. So Bible study at Friday at 8. Truth Topics Tuesday at 7 p.m. That's my wife and I. We talk about topics that men and women go through, children, society we have to engage and deal with. And we talk about it from a biblical perspective, but we kick it. We talk about it so it's easy for us to understand. We draw pictures, but we also have interaction. So you can ask questions. We can talk about the issue. We can have some concerns. We can go back and forth. And so that's on YouTube as well. Movemental Ministries TV. So you all, and our website, if you want to find out more about us, is movementalministries.org. Come on in is what we always say. We would love to have your insight, your ideas. We believe that the new church, began with COVID, that the days of actually confining church to a building, God is doing something else in the earth. And so we becoming an e-community that is moving forward with God's word, God's mission, but also touching people where they are, but dealing with issues that matter to them, political issues, issues in the family, issues of marriage, issues of communication. I know how to do things wrong. I became an expert in how to do things wrong. And when I was in that place for 8 years, God showed me every little wrong thing that I did. I become an excellent counselor by failure.
Let me ask you a question, Kwame. And you are my brother, and I don't want your wife to jump on me for asking you this question, right? Because I say I never put you in the hot seat, but I got to ask you this when it comes to politics. And this is just an honest question when it comes to the Black African-American community. We've been very, very loyal to the Democratic Party. Do you believe, and please be very careful when you answer this question, do you believe that the Democrat Party has failed us?
You know, I'll have to back up and I can answer that question after I say this statement, because I think it's a great question. I don't believe that anybody, any organization, and particularly any political party, will ever not fail you if you put all your trust and hope in it. There is absolutely no way that the African-American community, the Black community in this country, could ever not be failed if they continue to put all of their hope, trust, and faith in one political party. So yes, but it's failed us because we failed ourselves. You got to understand that there are several agendas within the Democratic Party, just like in the Republican Party, that don't reflect the best ideas for our community. There are a lot of things that my grandfather would have never agreed with that's in this Democratic Party. And there are a lot of things that he would have never agreed with that are in the Republican Party. And so that's why I like your position. You can say, okay, I'm supporting the Republican Party, but then I also see you when they go awry, you call them out. They didn't do the same thing for our. I see when you do that. And that is where I believe our community needs to be. It's okay if you lean Democrat or you lean Republican, but when you wholesale give your vote, then you're not in the body politic. Lastly, the reason that I was so dangerous is because I had great meetings with President George W. Bush. As a matter of fact, he probably supported me more than any federal person that I ever engaged. He built new public housing in the city of Detroit. He gave us the park money. He actually kicked off the riverfront development that's in Detroit right now. And so I didn't have a problem engaging who I needed to engage, then also say this person supported me. And so when people want you not to support somebody, don't you say Trump. Don't you say, we have to be men and women and people and human enough to have the courage and tenacity to stand up and say thank you to the people who helped us. And that's why I think that, yes, the Democratic Party has failed to engage the issues that matter to us the most, but we have also failed to force them to do it by having other opportunities to talk to people outside of the Democratic Party to get it done. As long as the party knows that we're not going anywhere, we are not going to move on any other candidate, we are not going to expend political capital to get what we need to get done, then the political party called the Democrats is doing the right thing and saying, they're just counting. We got them. Let's go do something for somebody else. And so they now go to the interest groups like the gay community. They go to the ethnic groups like the Asian community and the Latino community, because the Black community has failed themselves when it comes to Democratic politics.
Wow. Everybody, Kwame Apostle, Kwame Kilpatrick, Kwame, it has been so awesome speaking to you today. We've got about a minute before we go to the top of the news, and then we're going to be joined by entrepreneur Travis Cochran. We're going to be talking about the Black family and his role in production. Leave us with some encouraging words. Kwame, you've got about a minute, and let people know where to follow you.
You know, I just leave us with this. The Bible says that we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds, ING. That means every day, ING. I learned in the Detroit public schools that that's something that repetitively happens. It continues to happen. It's going to happen. So every day you wake up in the morning, you cannot drink the Kool-Aid from the television. At some point, we have to renew our minds to what's going on in our lives today.
Wow. We can't everybody take the thank white... Kwame Kilpatrick for joining us this morning. Follow him on Instagram, The Real Kwame Kilpatrick, movementalministries.org.